than a brother. And I just want to talk to you tonight out of Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The best friend I've ever had.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure you can relate to some things I'm going to say, but I want to talk about the best friend I've ever had. I hope I can do it. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. Our faith is through your word, of your word, on your word, by your word. And one day your word will get us to heaven. And then, Lord, thank you for these good testimonies. What a testimony. What testimonies, God. People that love you because you first loved them. And then, Lord, we want to thank you for not just being our Savior, not just being our Lord, but being our friend. God, you're a friend of sinners, of whom I am chief. You're a friend of sinners. Those that despise you and spit on you, you're their friend. And they don't even know it. Lord, help us to encourage people tonight. Be a blessing. And whatever happens, we're going to give you the glory for it, because it all comes from you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about this recently. Though we don't like to admit it, especially men, though we don't like to admit it because of our sinful pride, we need friendship.
Yes.
Mankind, men and women, mankind was not created to be alone.
Amen.
And we see that in the garden. God says it's not good that man should be alone. In us, in our heart, in our spirit, in our soul, we have an inward desire to be a friend and to have a friend. I thought about it. The kind of friend, that kind that is one of the best blessings you can have. One that walks in when everybody else walks out. That kind of friend. They're few and far between. We all growing up, we had friendships. They were more acquaintances than they were friendships. And when they passed off the scene, it really didn't bother us that much. Because we weren't that close. We weren't that intimate with these people. We called them friends. They called us friends. But when the times came that were hard, they didn't show up. Or if they had hard times, we didn't show up. And I always say this, you can judge a man or a woman and their friendship to others by going to their wake and their funeral. You can. My best friend at the time was my best man. I'm not going to call his name because we're on the internet. But we would call ourselves close friends, and we were, but it was more of a one-sided relationship. He was my friend because I had a car. And then as we grew, we grew apart, but he was the best man at my wedding. But he didn't really have any friends. He had acquaintances. He had people that got him what he needed when he wanted it. You know, things like that. Things like this. You buy this one, I'll buy the next one. And the next one never came for him. You buy this tank of gas, I'll buy the next one. And he just didn't happen to be around when you got the next one. You know, things like that. And we were friends, but because of drugs and sin and selfishness and self-centered and all that, when he died, we had grown so far apart because I'd gotten saved. And he had the opportunity. I took him a preacher to witness to him, and he almost did. Long story there. But by the time he died, he'd lost his wife. He'd lost his child. He'd lost his real friends, and he had drug friends and alcohol friends. And those people don't show up at your funeral. So I read it in the paper, I think it was, that he died. I hadn't seen him in so many years. Last time I saw him, I stood on the front porch, and I begged him. I begged him to get saved. I pleaded. And he said, Ronnie, one day I will. I'll do what you did. And that day never came. And he died lost. I think he was in his 30s, had a massive heart attack. You know what that meant if he was on drugs. And there wasn't even enough people to have his pallbearers. The funeral home had to get volunteers to be his. Now, what a terrible way to die. And I love him. And I hope somehow he got saved before he crossed over. I hope he did. Boy, it'd be good to see him. But I'm going to tell you, your friends, you'll see how good a friend you are by their trouble and what you do about it. And then you'll see how good a friend they are by what you go through and what they do about it and vice versa. But everybody wants friends. I don't care what you say. We need friends. Solitary life is not a good life for a human being. And me and my wife, somebody showed us this video of this guy that went up to Alaska and built him a log cabin. You ever seen that video on YouTube? He went up there one spring and he cut trees and built half of it, went back next spring, cut more, finished it, went back the next spring, finished it up. Didn't carry anything out but the head of a hammer and the head of an axe, you know, and a shovel without a handle on it. He made everything that he used, and we said, what a man. What a man. But then he went there and he lived by himself through winter, summer, spring and fall, by himself, lived there all alone and filmed himself by what he was doing. You saw it. And at first glance, you'd think, what a man's man. But then I got thinking about it. He was married. He had children. And then another thing I saw, his children, they'd either come see him once a year or he'd fly down and go see them. And I got to thinking, he had no friends. He had no friends. And he lived alone, all those years alone. He wasn't even a friend to his own family. He wasn't even a friend to his own wife, his own children. He was no friend to them. And how can a man live like that? How can a woman live like that? There was something wrong with that picture that we don't know. There's something wrong. There's a big deal. There's something wrong with that picture. If you can live all alone and you need no friendship and you have no friendship, you're not telling us the whole story. Inside the heart of every human being, there's a need. God himself put it there. It's not good for man that he dwell alone, he said. He needed to help me, so he made him a wife. Now, that's the first friend Adam ever had. Eve was the first friend, and he was her first friend. I always used to like to play with the kids in children's church. I'd say, did you know Adam and Eve didn't have a belly button? Yeah, they did. Everybody had a belly button. I said, no, they didn't. You got to have a mother to have a belly button. You had to be birthed. They weren't birthed. They were created. They had no belly button. But they were friends. You ever thought about this? If you take the picture of their fall, of course God made him head of the woman and he was head of the garden and God put him in charge. And God told him, y'all don't eat off that tree, you'll surely die. And he gave him command. But God gave that command to Adam, not Eve. He was the high priest of the home. And being her only friend, I'm sure he told her. But Adam goes off doing his job and comes home and he can tell immediately something different about this woman. She had eaten that fruit. And then she tempted him with the fruit. Now wait a minute. It was not as hard for her to resist the temptation as it was for him, because the command of God came directly to him from the mouth of God. And he knew what was going to happen if he bit that fruit. He knew it. With her, it was the lust of the eyes. You remember that? She looked and beheld it, that it was good, and then she tasted it. You remember that? But with him, you ever thought about this? He knew if he didn't, he was going to lose his only friend. Now you talk about a love story. And I know I'll be criticized on Facebook and stuff for saying this, but think about it. This man had one friend on planet Earth. I know God walked with him and God talked with him, but it wasn't friendship that we have with God. It was different. And he comes home and she has fallen, and he knows he doesn't know exactly what God's going to do, but he knows God's going to put her out. She can't stay in paradise. She's got to go. She's going to suffer the results of rebellion to God. And now what's he going to do? He's about to lose his best friend. And then, of course, we know that God made provision. Even though they had to leave the garden, God still took care of them. God was still their friend. And they didn't lose one another. So I got to thinking about this. Jesus Christ is that friend that walked in when everybody else walked out. And I got to think about exactly what does that mean? He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How do I see him as my good friend? So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, and I know that's a long introduction, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, it says this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Is that not what Adam did for Eve? He gave up his riches. Now, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's rich. He owns the universe. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he owns the gold in the hill and the jewels and the rubies and the oil in the ground and the underwater and everything else. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the owner. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of all this stuff. All of heaven worshiped him. They all of heaven praised him. They glorified him. But yet he looked down on a sinful world one day and he took off his royal robes and he laid them aside and he said, I'm going to lay down my kinghood and I'm going to become poor for their sakes. And I'm going to lay aside my sonship. The sonship of God. I'm going to lay that aside. And I'm going to give up all my royal privileges. And I'm going to go down there and I'm going to rescue these people. I'm going to be a friend to them.
Thank you,
Father. I remember I read a story long, 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 long time ago. I like history. I love history. And I was reading about the Dark Ages. You know, Dark Ages, when they'd gotten rid of the Bibles and everything, nobody could have a Bible except the crooked priest. And so they couldn't read, they couldn't write. Even the kings and the princes, they couldn't even hardly read or write. And so they got into this habit, and I think they got it from what we're talking about. They got into this habit in the royal families that it was against the law to whip the prince. You couldn't whip the prince. So they would get a little beggar boy, a little serf, a little boy out of the community, a little poor, you know, everybody was poor but the castle. And they taught somebody's parents in letting this boy about the same age as the prince come live with the prince. And they'd feed him good and clothe him good, you know, they wouldn't educate him, anything like that. And here's the sole purpose. When the prince got in trouble, they couldn't whip him. And they called this boy the whipping boy. So they'd whip this little boy instead of whipping the prince. That's true, it really happened. And Jesus Christ came down to be our whipping boy. Amen. He took my whipping. Now, I see, look, his friendship is seen in the sacrifice which he made.
Yes, sir.
He didn't have to do that. He didn't owe us anything.
Amen.
He didn't even have to love us if he didn't want to. He could have spoke the word and all this stuff would have flew apart out into eternity. We'd be nothing and nowhere. But by the grace of God, God sent His only begotten Son to live a sinless life I can't live and to suffer the punishment that I shouldn't have to punish, that I should get, He shouldn't get, that I couldn't endure even if they gave it to me. And He took the punishment for me and rose from the dead to prove that God has accepted the sacrifice. Now that's a friend.
Yes, it is.
You ever had a friend come to you and say, well, you know, I got this ticket. You ever had one say, let me pay it for you? You know, I never had a friend do that. Not one. I've had a bunch of tickets. When I was young, I lost my license twice before I was 18. Let me tell you something. I've never had a friend to walk in and say, I want to pay you fine, brother. No, they see that blue piece of paper. They say, you on your own from here, buddy. But Jesus paid my ticket. It was more than I wanted to pay anyway, more than I could pay, and He paid my ticket. That's a friend, buddy. Then I thought about this. How do I see that He's my friend? I thought, well, it's seen in how all these things work together, how He feels for me and how He understands who I am. Because the Bible says, being tempted in all like manner as we were, yet without sin. You know, a friend knows how you feel. You know how they know how you feel? Because they're intimate with you. They've experienced some things with you. Now, I was telling a story a while ago to Sister Debbie, and I ought not tell the story, and I'm not going to tell the whole thing. How when I was a teenager, I run with some bad, real bad boys. And for entertainment, on Saturday night, we'd run out of something to do. We'd have somebody call law and play chase with the police. We did. Somebody'd run up and say, hey, these boys down here rocking my house, knocking out windows. County police come out. They'd jump out of those cars and take off after us, and we'd go 100 different directions laughing. Boy, I tell you what, they should have called us and put us in jail. It's just the grace of God we ain't all in jail. It's the grace of God we're not all dead. I've done everything but play chicken in an automobile. I have. I was playing chase one time with a boy in a 66 Mustang, and I had a 66 Chevelle, and there wasn't no way to get outrun me. We'd run across the Bilo parking lot in Lancaster and back this way and through them poles, and I'd be right on his bumper going, vroom, vroom. And then we went back across the street where he worked at the gas station. He slammed on brakes, threw it in reverse, and I pushed his back bumper up against his back seat and just tore the front end of that nice Chevelle all to pieces. It's the grace of God we're alive. Yeah. Amen. But all this stuff worked together. All these things we've been through worked together to bring us to the best friend we ever had.
That's right. Yes, sir.
My wife was my first blind date. He was my second.
Amen.
Amen. That fellow come up to me that when I told you about my best friend, his car was tore up. I hadn't seen him in weeks. But his car, he got a car and it broke down, and his girlfriend, and her mama done moved to Rock Hill, and, his girlfriend's mama had married a relative to my wife, and I was drunk and they talked me into a blind date. Only blind date I'd ever had. Just about the only date I'd ever had. And you know what? I walked in that room that night, and when she come down that hall with that long braided hair, you know, and those monster bell-bottom blue jeans, my heart went. I didn't know what to say. They said, here's Terry. I said, hey, Y'all remember that, fellas? Oh, some of y'all ain't got no learnings. You ain't never done nothing. Listen, I fell in love with her right then. She was 15, I was 17. And it was on, buddy. It was on. I ain't going to tell you what all got on, but it was on, buddy. March the 5th, 1978, I walked into Eastside Baptist Church. I didn't know it. I had a blind date with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that day I got in my mind and in my heart, I got a glimpse of Him and all His beauty and all His glory and all His power. And boy, I fell in love with Him and I said, hey, that's what I want right there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's the best friend I ever had. Now she's my second best friend. But He's the best friend I ever had. And He stuck with me just like she stuck with me. And He's endured me just like she's endured me. And I better shut up because she'll start remembering things and she's not as, may not be as gracious as He is. But I'll tell you this, if you ever get a glimpse of Him, you'll fall in love with Him. And I got news for you, He's already looking to love you. Amen. Took a boy out of Chester, South Carolina. Sent him to Hawaii, made a beachcomber out of him. Sent him all over the country with a preacher daddy, and he had never listened to his daddy. He wouldn't have ended up in the mess he was in if he had. Amen. And then sent him all the way back to South Carolina to get right with God. And that day he walked in.
Amen.
You met your real friend, finally at last. Now y'all listen to me, he's the best friend we've ever had.
Yes.
Now I know you love me and I love you, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm made out of flesh. I'll let you down.
Yep.
I'll disappoint you.
Yep.
You ain't supposed to be saying it that loud, Blenda. You're right there at the camera, okay? You're supposed to say, oh me, okay? Okay. But He made a sacrifice that nobody ever made for me. When everybody else run off and left me, He was there to catch me.
Amen.
Amen. And love me when I was unlovable. And care when I didn't care myself. I used to say I didn't care and I didn't want to hear. Amen. But Him being tempted in all like manner as I was, He understood me. And He knew what it was like to be me. And Jeffrey loved me anyway.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Psalm 46:1. Most of you already know this one too. In Psalm 46:1, he says, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in what? You won't hear Joel Osteen say that. You won't hear the levitation crowd, elevation crowd, and all that impact crowd, and all them say that. They say they won't have that. We don't have trouble anymore. But I got news for you. Man's days are few and full of trouble.
Amen.
And look, when you're young, you can just drop off sleep on a barbed wire fence. You can sleep anywhere. Man, I used to sleep on a beach, sleep in a car seat, sleep on a bench, sleep somebody's house and didn't even know. But I lay down at night, you know, and I've been through a lot of trouble and things come back, you know, and they'll come back to your mind. And I just want to thank God. He's the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And I've had trouble since I've been saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody tell you they haven't? Listen, the battle didn't start till 1978. I was freewheeling through this old wicked world up till then. And when I joined his army and put on that uniform, the trouble came. Amen? And it's been coming everywhere. And don't you ever let anybody tell you being a Christian's a bed of roses. There's a lot of thorns on those rose bushes. But he's ever present help in time of trouble. He's never left. He's never forsook me.
Thank you.
I remember the first time I went up there to the hospital with Hazel and her family and Edward up there in the hospital. And them old rough boys, she's got some rough boys. Oh my goodness. I'm glad they like me. Man, she's got some rough boys, got some rough granddaughters. And you better watch them. You better watch them. And boy, I went in there and they was all sitting around looking morbid, you know, like the old man's about gone. He's leaving this world and worried about where he's headed, you know. And wasn't even talking to each other. And I went there. They hadn't shaved, they hadn't changed clothes, you know. They didn't go all dressed up. They didn't think he was going to make it. And going there, and I said, Hazel, hey, Sister Hazel, how's he doing? I don't know. And I said, well, let's pray. And right there in front of, they didn't have all them divisions in the waiting room in Piedmont back then, just one big waiting room. And I said, let's hold hands and pray. Didn't we do that, Hazel? And one, and those boys sitting all around and their families, I said, get up, come over here, we're going to pray. I had Hazel with this hand. I said, hold my hand, boy. He went. You could tell he never held a man's hand before. I felt that old rough hand, you know. And I said, this is it. Hey, this is serious. We need to pray. And I think they thought I was going to go. Hazel, we didn't have a silent prayer, did we? I could feel the boy's face turning red, holding his hand with my eyes shut. I said, our Heavenly Father, and I let it go. But I prayed for him, prayed for God to heal him, prayed for God. Thank God for what he's already done. Thank him for what he is doing. Thank him for what he's going to do. And when I got through, I looked at those boys, and I saw a few tears in their eyes. And I could tell that's the first time they ever felt God with a man praying, holding their hand. You know why? The real friend walked in, Jesus Christ. Amen. I like to preach, but every once in a while, real preachers show up.
Yes.
Now, you listen to me. Hey, good times or bad, rich or poor, he'll stay. Marriage don't mean nothing anymore. People get mad at each other over burnt bacon or something, they'll go get a divorce. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Y'all got me so excited, I got crying and running. Listen. Marriage don't mean nothing anymore. It don't. It's just a piece of paper. It's a contract. And I'll see you at the office of the lawyer and you see me at my lawyer's office. And that's all it is. They'll split up. Hey, I want to thank God. I got a wife that's a friend that stuck with me. Many times she had the opportunity to say, I can leave and be justified leaving. But she didn't do it. You know why? She's my friend. A lot of times we think we have friends, bro, all right, and least little thing, they'll take off and leave and say, you hurt my feelings.
Yes.
And the real friends stand there and take it. Hard times come. You get accused. You get falsely accused. You get attacked. And those so-called friends, they'll make dust. But the real friend will stand right there with you. The real friend, he'll stand right there with you and he'll say, don't worry about this daughter. Don't worry about this son. I'm going to take care of you. I went through the fire before. We can do it again. I like that. I'm going to read that verse again. I've already went over time planning not to even hardly preach. Psalm 46:1. He says, God is our refuge and strength. A present help in trouble. Very, that means a whole lot. Present, that means he ain't going nowhere. And that's my friend. That's my friend. And then this last thing, to me his friendship is superior to all others. Now listen, a lot of people say they'll die for you, but they won't even live for you. I got your back, brother. You turn around, he's gone. I grew up in Lancaster. I learned to sit with my back against the wall. If it didn't, you get hit in the back of the head. And then those so-called friends, once it gets in a fray, they'll jump in there with the rest of them. Like a pack of dogs. You get a dog, and you get two dogs to fight, and one of them gets wounded, all them other dogs will jump in and try to kill that wounded dog. There's a lot of so-called friends that do the same thing, buddy. But I got news for you. Jesus Christ will be there right there with you through the whole fight. And listen, his friendship is superior to any. A lot of people in this church say, preacher, I love you. You're my pastor. I love you. I'll do anything in the world I can for you. And I believe people really mean that. I really believe people really mean that. But when the hard times come, they can't do it. You see, they got a family to worry about too. They have a wife too. They have a husband too. They have children too. And to stick with you may mean that they might lose them. So don't treat people too badly that leave you. You don't know why they left. Now some of them, they ought to be shot, but we can't do that. We'll let that happen at judgment seat of Christ. We'll let that happen at judgment seat of Christ. This fellow was talking one time to another guy. He said, what do you think about your mother-in-law? He said, oh man, I got the greatest mother-in-law ever lived. I hadn't. Mine was. He said, I got the greatest mother-in-law. Talked about her cooking, talked about her friendship and all that, you know. He said, what about yours? He said, I think it's Satan's sister. He said, the woman's mean, she's hateful, she's conniving, she's wicked, she's vile, she's ugly. And he said, how old is she? He said, she's about 80-something years old. He said, well, you won't have to worry about it much longer. He said, no, she's so wicked, she won't even die. They'll have to shoot her at the judgment seat. She refuses to die. What brought that up? I heard on the radio the other day that old song, Mother-in-Law. Y'all remember that song? I love my mother-in-law, but let me tell you something. His friendship's superior to all others put together. Now, I love you. I'll go with you as far as I can. I'll go to the end if I can. But I might not can. But he can. He said, I'll go with you to the end of the age. That don't mean death. That means the end of time. End of time's never going to end. Amen. So he's going to go with me eternally. I've got a friend that'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never disappoint me. He'll never lie to me. He'll never run away. He'll always be there. He'll always walk in when other people walk out. He'll love me when I'm unlovable. He'll care when I don't care. He's my friend. Do you know him? Boy, if you know him, you know his friendship is superior to all other friends. These folks right here, they remind me of Barbie and Ken. Of course, Ken had to get him a Cadillac because that little Corvette wouldn't hold him no more. But they remind me of Barbie and Ken. They're so sweet. They're so sweet. They love each other so much. But you know, there may come a day that you can only go so far with somebody with that love. I always said this, I want to love my children the way God loves me.
Yeah.
Now, if they do wrong, I'm going to tell them. But when they go to court, I'm going to be sitting right behind them. If they go to jail, I'm going to be in there once a week to see them. Ain't that the way God is? Thank God. Now, I would advise you, especially if you're not saved watching on Facebook, I would advise you to make a friendship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the only friendship that's going to get you into glory.
Amen.
But need quit worrying about these other friendships. All they're going to do is get you into a hole.
Yeah.
He'll get you into heaven. Are you ready? See, I can call on him tonight while I'm laying in the bed and he'll show up. My wife won't even know he's in there. She'll be asleep. I can call on him, talk to him. He'll show up. If I get put in the hospital, and thank God I haven't been in the hospital since I was a teenager. I can call him. He'll show up. The doctor won't.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Listen. I can go down to jail. There may be one day that I do something terrible, end up in jail. Did you know I can look over there next to me in that jail cell and say, hello, friend. Because he's promised never to leave me, never forsake me. You see, all right, my salvation, my friendship's not determined by me. It's all Him.
Yes.
And He wants to be your friend.
Yes.
Do you know Him? Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your Word. Your comforting Word.
Yes.
Your encouraging Word. Sometimes Your convicting Word.
Thank You for that.
But Holy Spirit, we're glad that You still speak to us. That means You're there. And You'll always be honest with us. You'll be an honest friend. You won't lie to us to make us feel better. And You won't mislead us to make Yourself feel better.
Thank You, Lord.
You'll always be honest with us. And You'll never leave us, Lord. And You'll never, 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 10,000 times never disappoint us. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing some.